Hi, I'm Peter Dempsey, driver of the number 36 Pulse Microbiology Firestone Indy Lights car, and you guys are listening to OpenPaddock.net, motorsport commentary for the fans by the fans.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 83rd episode of the OpenPaddock.net podcast. Joining you, as always, your host, Sean, and my co-host and only other teammate on the show this evening, Mike. Say hello.
Hello, everyone. I hope you all enjoyed the quintessential first day of summer. Not actually the first day of summer, or excuse me, spring, but the day that we all celebrate as the beginning of baseball season. Personally, I'm not a baseball fan, but I still think the first day of baseball season should be a national holiday.
Nice. Go Cubs.
Indeed.
Picked up a good victory today. The 5th of April, we won. I'm pretty sure.
Very nice.
Think I read that on Twitter from Mr. Scott from the Inside Groove. So, anyways. Let's move about then and move on to the national championship basketball game. Just briefly, very sorry for the Butler fans. I was on the bandwagon as they were the last Indiana team left. Unfortunately, we were screwed by poor
Yeah.
shots.
Oh, geez, boy. I kept hearing people complain during the game. They're just wondering if the baskets were stiff or what. You know, something was screwed up. As with always, when you hear about people playing in these massive, football stadiums come basketball arenas, they always talk about the perspective of the player and how different it is and how it messes with your shots. And clearly, it messed with everybody's shots. That was atrocious.
That was, as many have been calling it, the worst national championship game ever.
I'm not going to argue with that one. It was hard to watch. The announcers were trying to make the best of it, but what it came down to was if you were a Butler fan or a UConn fan, you were disgusted with your team's abilities.
Yes. Well, sadly enough, we move on. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. I mean, Butler's been there 2 years in a row. Might as well try again.
Oh yeah, may as well. Won't hurt.
Yep.
Well, speaking of Indianapolis, let's just bust through some indie news, some eyes out IndyCar news. Doug will not be with us, so I will do my best to impersonate him with Mazda Road to Indy news, and I do apologize ahead of time for that. But let's see. First and foremost, we are going to move into some changes. There's been some changes to the qualifying, it would appear, for the road and street courses. As what is this? Some of the times, some reduction in times here, I see.
Yeah, it's been precipitated because of the changes to the tire rules. Last year, you could run any tire you wanted, any time you wanted in qualifying. This year, you have to stick with the compound that you put on your car for a qualifying session. So if you put reds on, you got to run reds the whole time. You can't go out in blacks and then decide, dang it, I'm not fast enough, then switch to reds. This is, Anyway, what that means is you're seeing qualifying like it used to be in Formula One, where everybody sits around for the full length of the qualifying session, and then the last 10 or 15 minutes of qualifying, they go out and put in a hot lap. If you remember those qualifying sessions when it was a 1 hour long qualifying window and you just sat there and sat there and you watched the Minardis and the Jordans run around.
Yay!
And then with like 5 minutes left in the session, the Ferraris come out.
Yeah, exactly. It's
and
like
destroy the field.
Yeah, right. It's like, well, there's 10 minutes left on the clock and Minardi's on pole. And then 5 minutes left in the session, and it's like the whole reason I'm watching qualifying, and here comes Ferrari. And it's like, wow, and they just shattered it by about 10 seconds.
Yeah. But what they were noticing was that in the second segment, and people thought this was going to happen, the second segment is a 15-minute long segment. And, they're not going to run for 15 minutes. So they decided to cut 5 minutes out of it because, well, the first time they ran it, the 15-minute session ended up being about 5 minutes of cars running.
Oh, nice.
So, just seemed worthless to keep it that way. So that's pretty much it.
All right. So a slight change so we can, you know, facilitate the cars on track and cut out some of the boredom. Very nice.
Yeah.
We can deal with that, I think. Let's get into just a couple. We got a few, about four drivers.
Busy week for driver announcements. That's
oh,
for sure.
I know. And I'm happy to say that today, finally, after millions of years, seemingly, James Hinchcliffe, aka the at Hinchtown, the mayor of Hinchtown, and probably the most marketable and funny guy in the IndyCar series now, has finally signed to drive the North American legs of the Izod IndyCar series with Newman Haas, the team we all knew was going to happen. We were just waiting on some sponsorship to shore up a little bit, and sure enough, he got some from Toronto. He got a Sprott. I hope I said that right. It doesn't look like you can really say it much any other way. Incorporated, basically an asset managing firm from Toronto, has finally ponied up the money for young Mr. Hinchcliffe to run in the Izod IndyCar series. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, indeed.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Sheesh, and like you were saying in your tweets earlier this afternoon, epic, because you're going this weekend, so it
Yay.
Just made your weekend better.
It did. In the words of Press Dog, barber viewing experience has been enhanced.
Indeed.
Because the dude is outright hilarious. He's one of the funniest. He's got to be probably the funniest guy in the paddock. So.
Yeah, and he was no slouch in the times and testing either. So
I know.
I'm absolutely thrilled. I mean, we talked about this with Doug in the past, but getting Hillebrand and Hinchcliffe in seats coming up through the Indy Lights series, that's phenomenal. I'm just floored. It's wonderful that they've actually got people moving up from the feeder series. So
yes, it's definitely a positive thing. You know, you want to make sure that your feeder series are in fact feeding.
Yeah, so. And you know, you throw in some of the other names like Anna Beatrice. You know, she's had some runnings in IndyCar. You know, you've got some other stuff. Sebastian Saavedra's come up. Regardless of what you might think of him and his shenanigans with Brian Herta Motorsport last year, you've got a whole lot going on, and a lot of Indy Lights drivers who are now in the IndyCar series. So we're all very happy about that.
Yes. Well,
The North American races, that would include everything except, Motegi, if it happens this year.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know. The other one would be Brazil.
Yes.
So, sad that he won't be getting down to Brazil, but, you know, at this point, he's already missed one race. It's not going to be the highest likelihood they'd be able to do anything on the road course championship trophy. So we'll just leave it at that and be happy for what he's got.
Yes. We'll definitely take that. So definitely, definitely. And other news, looks as though the Dragon Racing team is not completely dead. Signs of life as the hand comes out of the grave. You know, the zombied hand comes out of the grave.
I'd be stone dead in a moment.
Yeah.
I think I could go for a walk.
But Jay Pinsky is going to keep his team alive, and he has finally shut Paul Tracy up, only if momentarily, by giving him a 5-race deal this year that will see him at Long Beach, the Canadian Rounds, and what was the other ones? Long Beach, Canadian Rounds.
And
I can't see the
Vegas, Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
We're going to Vegas, Mikey. But it looks like he will obviously not be running the 500 with them because he is going to be running. Yeah, he's going to be running with Jarian Reinbold for the 500. So a few races here and there for old PT that should keep him plenty. Should keep the tweet environment at least PG a little bit longer. Lord forbid if Jay Pinsky. Yeah, Lord forbid if Jay Pinsky stabs him in the back. Oh Lord.
Yeah.
We'll be
that
in.
Would make it. That would make everybody in the IndyCar paddock.
Exactly.
At least by Paul Tracy's estimation.
Yeah, by his account, everybody would have screwed him over. Yeah. So.
But to this, I do hear that spontaneous celebrations were breaking out in the streets in Canada. You know, Paul Tracy, James Hinchcliffe, you got tags. If you're not dancing in the streets, you dang well should be. Come on.
There's a lot of Canadian talent in the series this year, and it's all, for the most part, good.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we don't have any misplaced Canucks in the series. I mean, seriously, Marty Roth, come on.
Yeah.
You can do better than that, Canada.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada. For the slow and obnoxious guy who thinks he's a club racer. Can't rhyme and make a good song out of it. I need a Cartman. Cartman. So... All right. Yeah, good for PT. Shall be interesting, to say the least. For other drivers, we have Bruno Ginchiera, who will be driving for AJ Foyt for the Indianapolis 500. Is it just the 500?
Just 500 at this point. So
be teaming with Vitor Mira.
Bruno is extremely talented, and it will be good to see him back at Indy.
Yes.
And driving Foyt cars, you're pretty sure that that's a car that's going to qualify.
Yeah. And the thing that's screwed is that now the deal is done, so we don't have to worry about Bruno getting into a fast car, you know, the day of bump day, and putting the car in the field only to turn around and wreck it a few short laps later. But good for him to have that program established for Indy. And it looks like the guy is doing a pretty darn good job of making a living out of running just the Indy 500. So
there are a few of those out there, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. Guns for hire, if you will, for the Indy 500. I will now go ahead and say that I'd like to put my name in the hat as a gun for hire for the Indy 500. I would like to drive just only for the 500. I'd
Indeed.
Like to collect my prize money and go home.
Well, you know, if you stretch your tip money from your waiting job, you know, and you try a book deal or something like that, you might be able to stretch all that cash you get from Indy for a year.
I may. I will. I can leave cheap, man. I can live on Taco Bell and out of my car.
Yes.
So good news for him. And then our final driver confirmation, if you will, comes from Sam Schmidt Motorsport, and the Jay Howard will be driving for Sam Schmidt at Indianapolis.
Yeah, no big shocker. We all knew that this was coming. That's what's been rumored. So just getting the confirmation. Very nice. Good to see that. I mean, Indy is filling up. I mean, we're getting confirmations left and right for Indy. We know that there are going to be a lot of cars there. The last Indy 500 on this chassis package.
Yeah.
All these teams are based in Indy. You know, there's just not a whole lot that's going to keep them from saying, let's give it one more whirl. You know, the one person that we know won't be driving at Indy, Sarah Fisher, The announcement was made this week that she is indeed pregnant. So,
oh, nice. Mission accomplished.
Send her your well wishes as we do. Open Paddock, we congratulate Sarah on producing the next generation of young drivers.
Mike does, because he's quite possibly the biggest fanboy on the planet. I do too. I do too, but I just had to give you some crap for that because you're always...
She's good people.
She is good people.
With a good USAC background, you know.
You make me sick. Well, we got some news today, and this kind of stirred up a little bit on the old Twitter stream. Donald Trump has been confirmed as he will be driving an Indy, but he will not be driving in an Indy car. His toupee would fall off if that happened. Or at least his hair may or may not go to something not so quite radical as what he has now.
Indeed.
But he will be driving the 100th anniversary Chevrolet Camaro pace car.
You know, I think that the best thing that they could do is fill that car with bad comb-overs.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, could you imagine Trump
Ted
in
Turner?
The passenger seat? Yeah, Ted Turner.
Nice.
Gene Cady.
Oh, my God. That's the worst hairdo I've ever seen in one car.
That would be perfect. No, I don't have any real opinion on this. I mean, yeah, Donald Trump is a guy that's going to – this is what you need to do. You need to move the needle. You need to give people reasons to watch.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is one of those guys that he brings viewers just because of his name. Mm-hmm. If it were Mario Andretti, great. That's perfect. That's wonderful. I'm glad you picked Mario Andretti, but who cares?
Yeah.
I'm not to denigrate the fans who want to, honor a guy like Mario or AJ Foyt or name it, Ray Haroon's grandchildren.
Nice.
There are great things that you could do with that have historical meaning and import, but really nobody's gonna care except those who are there.
Yeah. Well,
Donald Trump's the kind of guy that can get you recognition that you otherwise wouldn't get.
And I presented this on Twitter, and you can tell me how stupid I am or how wrong I am. But having Donald Trump, okay, all his story aside, we have Donald Trump in the year that Vegas is coming back on the calendar for its mega $5 million shootout world championship.
Yeah.
And who better to have in the car and to treat well and to really kind of, if you will, pamper in the IndyCar environment when you're trying to push that event, who better than Donald Trump? Because that dude has huge, obviously, claim to fame in Vegas, you know? I mean, yeah. The guy is next to, you know, you think of Las Vegas, you think of Steve Wynn. What's his name? A little bit of Frank Sinatra.
Obviously, some people do,
yeah.
But
yeah.
You don't.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I don't. I'm trying to remember their names.
I think of James Bond.
You're fired.
No, man.
He has nothing to do with Vegas.
No, they did that. They did one of the Bond flicks in Vegas back before it really became anything other than, you know, few city blocks.
Who's that singer? Who is that singer? That was always in Vegas. The lounge singer.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not gonna waste a Google search to find out. I forget. But
Wayne Newton,
you are the man. Wayne Newton, Steve Wynn, and Donald Trump.
Who, interestingly enough, Wayne Newton played the voice of Mr. Las Vegas in Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, interesting.
And awesome.
Slightly creepy.
Indeed.
So I think if you look at it from a strategic kind of big picture, you know, let's get outside the box for a second. Having Mr. Trump drive the car and pampering him and showing him a good time at your Crown Jewel event, you know, he may be able to really be an asset to you as you try to push this whole Las Vegas idea.
Yeah, and just beyond Vegas, that man has more connections than anyone else on the planet, probably.
And I hate to say it. I hate to say it because everybody make fun of me. But obviously, no secret. The secret's out. I watch WWE. And yeah, I do. All right. I watch it because it's entertainment. I know it's fake. It doesn't matter. It's entertainment. And if you see some of the things that Donald Trump did, because one of the things is, well, that's just going to bring in people who are over 50. Well, if you remember, if you think back to when, and I've seen this, if you watch the story of WrestleMania, the big WWE Crown Jewel event, and it's how it came to be, Donald Trump actually had a big part in making that event what it is. So it got a lot of its, obviously it was a good idea and everything, but it got a lot of notoriety because of what Donald Trump did when they held it at the casino. And he brought in a lot of people, you know, a lot of people in the Atlantic City area. And I'm sure he could do just the same for Vegas, given his connections there and his assets there. But I mean, he helped bring in more of a younger generation as well. So to think that he's going to bring in only people who are 50 years old or, you know, older, you know, he does have that capability. Just for example, with something like a WrestleMania big time event, he knows how to promote it and he knows how to help it. So pamper him, let him do, you know, let him have a good time at your Crown Jewel event. And you may be surprised with what he can do for you, in return. So,
yeah. And, you know, Donald Trump has never been more widely, I shouldn't say respected, but regarded than currently because of, you know, his television presence with the Apprentice program, all that has gone on, you know, every year adds to the name recognition of a Donald Trump. And now we're hearing him talk about running for president. So,
yeah.
Throw it in a pot, mix it all together. I think it's a good move for the IndyCar series. Like, you know, the whole Twitter sphere and, you know, track forum.
Oh, world. No.
Just exploded. Everybody's like, how can they do Donald Trump? This has no value to the IndyCar series or to the tradition of Indy. Well, yeah, it really doesn't. But, you know, go back through the list of people who have driven the pace car, and it's a veritable who's not who of the world.
Who did we have last year that Don Duhamel or Duhan or some shit? Yeah, that guy. He's an actor. He was in Transformers, I think.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Yeah, Shia LaBeouf or something like that.
It was one of the other stars.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Can't have Shia LaBeouf drive the pace car because he's got too many DUIs.
No.
So.
No!
Be here all week, folks.
It's kind of like an F1 driver in a country that's not their own.
Nice.
No, you can't drive the car.
Yeah, right. Like Peter Stolberg, you can't even drive your car in competition because you were pulled over. So
hilarious.
Yes, how funny.
Well.
Let's look at the Mazda Road to Indy Scouting Combine. And there's some details that were released on the Scouting Combine, and we don't have Doug to talk about it. But, Mike, you found this nice little article, so I'm going to let you deal with it.
Okay. Well, we talked about this briefly a few weeks ago, and this idea to set up a scouting combine. Basically, the idea is you set up a combine, you have a bunch of people come and compete in the combine in front of IndyCar drivers and team owners throughout the Mazda Road to Indy. And the person who shows the best at the scouting combine is going to get seat time at one race weekend in one of the USF 2000 cars. Pretty cool idea. And this is the kind of thing that starts to gain people's, you know, for the Road to Indy. It starts to get recognition for drivers outside of the Road to Indy program to bring them in. They're doing everything they can so that every tier of the Road to Indy leads you somewhere else. But now they're reaching out to all these other series, you know, SKUSA Karting Championships, USAC Division I Midgets, Heartland Sprint Series. There's a whole bunch of these individual karting federations. Let's see. quote from the article, the Mazda Road to Indy Scouting Combine will be held November 28th through 30th at Anderson Raceway Park in Palmetto, Florida. It will give top drivers from grassroots racing series such as, okay, let's go through them. 1, World Karting Association. 2, Superkarts USA. 3, International Karting Federation. 4, Rotax Max Challenge United States. 5, USAC D1. 6, the Rock Island Grand Prix. So 6 different groups and championships are going to be feeding into this, different drivers from those areas. And each of those individual series or events will have the ability to set their own criteria for who gets to go. Is it the top in the points, or is it the person that wins, you know, X event, or the person who wins this many events? You know, they set their own criteria for who goes to this combine, and then the winner of said combine will be selected to drive USF 2000 car in 2012 at St. Petersburg.
Interesting.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
It's really,
just like I said, reaching out to bring people into the ladder series and then pushing them up the ladder, all based on success, not based on cash.
Oh, you mean there's a problem with people who pay?
Well, it is interesting, isn't it?
You have to say no more.
Well, and then even beyond that, you know, it's not just your ability to win races, and it's not just your ability to bring cash that gets you a seat in any form of racing. You look at a guy like J.K. Vernet, who came with a substantial amount of money for winning the Indy Lights Championship, and he's off looking for a sports car ride somewhere because nobody was really interested in him. Because he wasn't marketable, in my opinion. I mean, other people may disagree with me on exactly the reasons, but I think that you look at the two guys beneath him in the championship who both have now almost full season rides, Hillebrand and Hinchcliffe, they are extremely marketable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Excited. All right. Well, let's get into the Mazda Road to Indy. We do have some stuff there to discuss. Mainly, this weekend will be the first time that the Star Mazda series has ever raced. Had a race event at Barber Motorsports Park. Now they have tested, so that has happened, but it is going to be the first actual race. So, Doug's predictions: Tristan Vautier will be the driver to beat. And then he says that Martin Scuncio from the Juncos Racing squad also will be definitely somebody to keep their eyes on. So we shall keep our eyes peeled. I will have to go to the track early if I want to see the action, because first practice is Thursday at 8:00. Old Dad has a hard time getting up that early these days. So
yeah.
But and the Firestone Indy Lights, we're gonna have the great talent that we had last weekend. Hopefully, we'll definitely be cheering on Mr. Anders Krohn as well as Peter Dempsey. They are going to be favorites, as well as Joseph Newgarden, who's seemingly bulletproof. We'll also have Connor Daly. So, you know, have a good crop of road racing specialists there as well. So that'll be really interesting to see how that all pans out. And I actually am really excited for all the feeder series action this weekend. I'm not usually much of a feeder series guy, but due to the coverage that we've started here at the paddock, I'm kind of climbing on board, and I want to go and see what these young kids are made of. See them drive their little cars in anger. Who pissed off the honeybees?
Yeah, it's just like every time I go down to Lawrenceburg Speedway, and they always have these mini sprints as the support class down there, and they all have these cute little motorcycle engines in them.
Nice.
They just sound funny.
What exactly? The hell? Somebody threw a stick at a hornet's nest over there. Look out.
Indeed.
Well, let's take a look at the big cars because we are going to be going to Barber. We do have big cars on track. Yes. Yes, we do. The Grand Prix of Alabama. And looking ahead, I mean, last year this race was the inaugural event for the series. It was Helio Castroneves had a good showing. I forget who won, who the defending race champion is.
Oh, you got me on that one.
I know. We're terrible. We need to do our homework.
I tell you.
But I will tell you. Virus. Yeah. But I tell you that Marco Andretti dominated most of the race last year because of his fuel strategy. Fuel strategy will be an issue for this race, or was at least last season. So look for some interesting things to transpire, maybe some interesting strategies to crop about. So I'm excited. Do you have any predictions? Do you have any predictions for us in the crisp sun of Birmingham?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a week of vindication for Will Bauer.
Oh, for crying out loud. You would have picked him. Had he won the race, you would have picked him this weekend saying he was unstoppable.
I just might. I mean, it's so hard to bet against that guy after what he did last year.
Yeah.
But
he will be the man to beat, I'm sure, after his dominance of the opening round, or the opening, what, five rounds of the road courses. So yeah, he's going to be good. But I'm going to tell you that this weekend's winner, and I am nearly willing to guarantee this, will be Dario Franchitti.
Oh. Based on the open paddock principle?
The streak. The streak is intact and doing well. So I will ride the streak for Mr. Franchitti this weekend. And I will, that's who it's going to be. Also, my notables, for those of you looking for fantasy tips, I will drink the Tony Kanaan Kool-Aid. Marco Andretti, also a threat. Alex Tagliani. And perhaps Simona may show us a little more magic. So
it was Marco last year showing everybody how to pass there. So
Marco was the man.
Yeah, seriously, he gave one of the best moves of the race. So very, very impressive. Hopefully he can recapture that glory from last year and do better.
I'm hoping because I would not be I will not object to his victory.
I will not object to it. However, I'm going to doubt it until he does it.
Wow.
No, I think that TK leaving the team is going to be pretty bad for the team.
Whatever. All right. Well, if you're heading down to Barber like I am, be sure to stop by openpaddock.net and check out Christy's race guide for Barber. She did a brilliant job on the one for St. Petersburg. I am actually planning my trip around the guide. I am using it as a tool for the trip because I do not know anything about Alabama. I've only drove through it one time. And Birmingham, I heard I may need a flak jacket and Kevlar helmet to protect me from projectiles coming from guns of thugs. But we will have to see. But a lot of good things happen in that weekend. Lots of nightlife. If you're like me, you're going to definitely know where the nightlife is. So check out the guide. Good links for all your travel destinations. Brought to you compliments of the paddock. And there is also a race party down there at some point. So I'm going to be at that race party. So if you plan on being at Barber and you are listening to this podcast, find me at the race party and we will kick back a cold one or two. But not many more than that, because then things get unprofessional and out of control. So see tweet stream from Friday.
Yeah, or so you've been told. You don't seem to recall what she was talking about. But
exactly. As was told to me on a day at work in a very awkward situation. Yeah, exactly. She's saying everything that's going on. I'm like, you need to be quiet. Really, this is a professional workplace, and people don't need to hear these. So shut up.
Oh man.
So yeah, but it'll be
very exciting.
Have a good time. I'm excited. You aren't going.
No, happy that you get to go experience Barbara. I wanted to this year, but just was not able to make it happen. So instead, I'm going to be spending the weekend at Eldora Speedway watching sprint cars. Hopefully, as long as they can get their track prep squared away.
Says the guy who said he was probably never going back after the last show.
Yeah. It's the best dirt track on the planet, except for the fact that they don't know how to prepare their dirt track.
Nice. Damn you, Tony Stewart!
Yep. Well, even when Earl Baltes was running the place, it was a dust bowl, and they've been trying to fix that track for a long time. It's just a sweet place to watch a race when the conditions are right, though. Anyway.
Well, let me before we get into the other things, we messed up last week, so I'm here to right the wrong. Here is your Open Paddock Fantasy League update. Cue
Dun, dun,
political
dun, dun,
music.
dun.
Thank you. It's like you're reading my mind. Well, it was a bad week for most of the paddock folks in St. Petersburg. Team, and I'm really sorry if I butcher this, Team Tanamahuta is leading the championship right now after a solid weekend, scoring over 1,000 points, actually positioning himself to be eighth overall in the whole entire league. He is eighth overall in the entire contest. So fantastic job for you, sir, or ma'am, but I'm
Well,
pretty sure sir.
there's only really one explanation for this.
What's that?
He's a time traveler.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, he had some good picks. I looked at his picks after the they opened him up for everybody to take a peek at. So I took a look at those. Open Paddock Zone Spike Rogan is holding down the paddock name in P2, saving my wallet. He's a cool 57 points off the lead with 910 points. And then the third place team is Shannon Special. So Shannon Special P3. So Team Tenemohanana is P1.
Please send us a pronunciation guide.
Yes.
Yep.
Spirit of Pocono Raceway, Spike Rogan, P2, and the Shannon Special is P3. I had a terrible week. The rest of the paddock had a bad week, for obvious reasons. Exorf or Mike, you were the second best paddock racer. You slotted in at P13 with a cool 695 points. Doug Patterson or Exorpheus, and his Starfleet O'Pain, finished snugly behind you in 14th with 670 points. Christy was 19th with 623 points. And yours truly, the man, the myth, the legend, and the most electrifying man in fantasy racing could only squander 24th with 553 points out of 35. So at
The
least I'm not.
man, the myth, the legend, the caboose.
Nice. Hey, what am I saying, you guys? Is $0 and 0 cents to do? Sit on your ass? No. Go out there and win fantasy racing or I'll
That's
be
right.
fired.
That's right.
So I kind of feel like, really, to be honest, after last weekend, I felt like the Andretti Auto, I felt like Michael Andretti and the whole Andretti Auto Sport, because I've got more cars than anybody in the show, and I had the biggest carbon fiber bill amongst my racers. So, yeah. But yeah, here's to Barber. I've got some great picks out there. Really flexing some muscle this week in hopes to try to pull myself back to the top. Because at the end of the day, if nothing else, my teammates will eventually overhaul the leader and win. And my sole purpose in life is to beat Paul Dalby for more front wing. He's
Nice.
18th. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care how many of my best drivers I have to use. I will beat him. So I hope you heard that, Dolby, because I know you're listening. I'm coming for you, so you better be ready. All right, so that's your Open Paddock Fantasy Racing League update. Cue the music. You're fired.
Sorry.
You do it once, I'm going to expect it from you. You got to
Yeah,
work on that.
we'll have to work on a jingle for that one.
Yeah, we will. So let's go ahead and move into rally. All things rally. Not a whole lot going on. Rumor
All
had it.
single
Yeah.
playing
Well,
rally.
I'm going to throw one out there that,
Uh-oh.
well, there's two. Mini won its first rally. That doesn't really matter because it was against a bunch of SCCAs. But good job. The Mini S2000 has claimed victory. Also, there has been rumor the Volkswagen announcement that I said was coming in Portugal has been pushed back slightly to a bit later in the summer. It's still coming. It's still on its way. Don't get upset. They're still going to be in the sport. And even so much so, as rumors surfaced that, and Citroën kind of confirmed that this may or may not have happened, as they usually do in their sketchy fashion, that Volkswagen was actually trying to lure Sebastian Loeb to the team.
Ooh.
So, yeah, Loeb, who we know is pretty much probably going to be done after this year unless something changes. He's in the fold at Volkswagen, but he said no. Citroën says they don't know what he's going to do, so we'll see what happens. Nobody, according to Sebastian Loeb, nobody has, I don't know. So we'll see. In other news, Kimi Raikkonen is going to NASCAR.
Fan and sponsor favorite,
Yeah.
Kimi Raikkonen, will
Yeah.
bring his explosive personality to the bullring.
Oh my goodness, this is gonna be, as I think it was Papa Valve put off, Darryl Waltrip walks up to Kimi and says, "You ain't from around here, are you?" And Kimi said no. I quickly replied, "You forgot the 30 seconds of mumbling before he says no."
Indeed.
No. No. What? What the hell was that? Who is
Well, you
this
know.
guy?
Formula One's slowly developing their own little club over there in NASCAR world. I mean, you got Nelson Piquet Jr., you got Juan Pablo, Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yeah, and now
Beast.
Kimi Raikkonen. I mean, a world champion, a person who ran over the world champion. And a person who intentionally wrecked for a world champion. It's exciting.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see him on track for sure. He'll
Yeah.
be driving in Charlotte for his debut, Charlotte Motor Speedway in the Kurt Busch truck.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you think about it. Young Mr. Bush has had success in NASCAR, but you consider a F1 world champion is going to go drive for his truck team, his feeder series team. I mean, it just I can't comprehend this.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. This is the biggest name, I think. Obviously, the biggest Formula One name to come over to NASCAR. Obviously, Juan Montoya was a big deal, but we knew, some of his old U.S. exploits. Not a big deal. But Kimi Raikkonen never once been in the United States in any racing series, and here he comes into NASCAR to drive trucks, race trucks, as you call them. In his best Southern accent, Kimmy says, "Kyle's one of the biggest mumble, 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 best in NASCAR, mumble, mumble, and being able to draw on his knowledge, mumble, and valuable asset, mumble, 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 as I make my transition, mumbling still and sipping on vodka and taking a bite from his drumstick, I make my transition to a new form of racing. He puts together experienced team that builds fast race, mumble, mumble, mumble trucks. Done."
Kimmy, welcome to the United States. I do hope that this turns out to be, a good move for you. But one thing that the boys over here are going to show you real quick, Häagen-Dazs, it's import ice cream. What you want is the real thing. Go get yourself a pint of Cherry Garcia. I
Nice.
mean, seriously, you come into the States, you learn the ways of the States, and that is Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, and you need to ask Juan Montoya about that because he quickly developed a passion for Applebee's. So, and he also likes Big Macs, or not Big Macs, but Whoppers from Tony Stewart. You know, they're Whopper fanboys. So if you can eat a few Whoppers, put on a couple pounds, develop a taste for Applebee's, because that's where you go to pick up chicks here in the States, and eat your hot your Ben and Jerry's, and you'll now be drinking Smirnoff vodka. That's what we and some of us who are not vodka connoisseurs in the States like to coin the vodka. So,
Indeed. Welcome to the United States. Get yourself a bottle of Dude.
yes, dude, Kimmy wants some dude in his mouth. That is gonna go down in open paddock lore as probably one of the greatest things ever said on the show. Kimmy Räikkönen wants some dude in his mouth.
Yes, for the uninitiated, Dude is a brand of vodka.
Triple Olive brand, which is actually British.
Yes, and it tastes something like Mountain Dew, according to young Mr. Peachin there, because
Yes.
I haven't had it yet. Something about having Dude in my mouth
You said that you. And you know, the funny thing is, you people at this site make fun of me over that, which, okay, yes, I should be made fun of because that's a really disgusting way of putting it. But both you and Christy mentioned seeing it in the store and contemplated purchasing. So what does that say about you? You guys are all over this little kinky catchphrase.
You're the one who brought the catchphrase to our attention.
It was actually brought to my attention and made fun of on Facebook. One of
Very
my local
nice.
bartenders is like, "Yeah, this new dude vodka is awesome." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm gonna come up and get some tonight." She's like, "You want dude in your mouth?" I was like, "Oh my God, how did I not see that coming?"
I
So,
think some nail polish remover will take that name right off the bottle.
yeah, right. It's just boring. It's just Mountain Dew in a bottle.
Indeed, indeed.
All right.
Just slightly higher test.
Well, enough of this disgusting talk. Let's get to
Let's
the.
get into F1.
Yeah, welcome to F1. Oh, these comments would befit such a circus. But,
indeed.
well, it looks like there's been some heated exchange. Well, not really heated, but some pretty big exchanges from one Bernie Ecclestone or Bernard Ecclestone and Jean Todt. As Max Mosley or Max not Max Max Mosley was brought into the deal. But Bernie Ecclestone pretty much said that Jean Todt was a poor man's Max Mosley. And that was the end of that, where Jean Todt said, "I'm not going to get into this." But basically, what they want is he's going to be looking to renegotiate the FIA's deal with the Formula One bosses on those said commercial rights, especially in accordance with the 100-year deal with Bernie Ecclestone. What the hell? Who makes that kind of commitment?
Let's break this down. Max Mosley sold the commercial rights to F1 to Mr. Ecclestone for a song and a dance. Of course, Bernie is going to think anybody but Max is ridiculous.
Yeah.
They worked so well together, and they accomplished their goals together. I don't know who was whose puppet, but it just. I don't get it. It's funny though. Bernie calls Jean Todt a poor man's Max Mosley, and this is Jean Todt's response. Quote, "It is important not to overreact. I feel with confrontation, unless it is necessary to achieve a result, you lose time. I prefer to achieve results with harmony rather than confrontation. Unicorns and rainbows and oh, never mind." But here's the situation. They're trying to renegotiate this 100-year deal for the commercial rights to F1, and I think that they're going to end up being able to, because let's put it bluntly, the FIA sets the rules for F1, and they can make them whatever they want. That
Cooper
puts them in
shows.
a, yeah, that puts them in a position where they can command whatever they want for the championship. it also puts them in a position to make the rules as far as, well, we need XYZ technology to be able to properly police the races. Currently, I don't think they have that technology in place. I think they have a very poor system in place because they have to rely on stewards to look at tape, you know, 10 minutes after events to see if they think anything wrong happened. That clearly can be fixed. If you want to fix it, though, it's going to require better technology on the race directing side. And to get that better technology, the FIA is going to have more money. So I don't know how they exactly phrase that, but the new Concord agreement is coming up for, you know, for the 2013 season. And it's going to be another knockdown, drag out mess. And it looks like what used to be two party talks. You had the FIA and FOM on one side and the teams on the other. Well, geez, it was multiple party talks back then because you had the FIA on one side and 12 teams on the other. Now you've got the FIA, the FOM, and FOTA, all three of them fighting for their deal. The FIA and FOM are no longer a joint voting body. So,
oh boy.
This could be a big mess when we're into that. And we've heard what Bernie's saying about 2013. He can't stand the idea of going to turbos
ground
engines. And, you know, he's just, you know, there's only two things that people go to F1 races for. They go to see Ferrari and hear the noise. You know, I think I would argue with that, but yeah.
If I was to go to an F1 race today, it would be to see Red Bull and Sebastian Vettel, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you know, times they are changing.
Yes.
And Ferrari is, you know, Ferrari is currently kind of a shadow of what they were 5 years ago.
With the Schumacher.
Yes.
My boy, in deep trouble. Well, it should be interesting to see exactly how it all pans out. And don't discount FOTA, no. Because FOTA will be waiting in the wings for something to go awry.
Yeah,
and then we'll have Luca de Montezemolo. I can't keep my mouth shut. This is the times that FOTA must strike. We must bring our own breakaway series. These two idiots obviously don't know what they're doing. We will rise from the ashes.
Bring
back
just
V12s and ground effects and no safety harnesses.
Yeah.
Koopa Shell, screw that. Just run them off the road. Boys have at it.
Well, it's very clear, though, the direction that things are going right now with the public comments made by Bernie Ecclestone and, you know, him just stirring the pot and all that's going on. Yeah, it's very clear. It's going to be a mess when it comes to getting 2013 signed, just like it was for the last one when FOTA got in there and started stirring things up. So, what fun.
It is.
A fully realized new FIA, FOM, or excuse me, FIA president in his role as chief negotiator for the FIA side. It will be a sight to behold.
Indeed. All right. Well, we do have a motor race this weekend for Formula One out in Sepang, Malaysia, one of our favorite tracks from the Tilke neutered era.
Yes, indeed.
And
the one Tilke track that I can look at and say, yeah, I kind of like that.
obviously, Mercedes, the factory Mercedes outfit, big race for them through the Petronas sponsorship, big race for Lotus, the poor man's Lotus, not the Lotus Renault. So it's going to be a great weekend, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. Kinky Kylie and Sebastian Vettel, champions. They'll win the race.
I don't see how you can bet against him. The only person that might be able to keep up with him, I would think, would be Mark Webber, and I don't think that's going to happen.
No. Lewis Hamilton says, oh, we can catch him, and they've got to have Kurs. They've got to have Kurs, or they're going to get beat. And I'm like, dude, you just keep talking.
Well,
because they're going to lay the smack down on you so hard this weekend.
If they have Kurs, great. They probably will by this weekend. And more power to them. But I think the McLarens and the Ferraris are going to be dicing it up with the Ferrari straight line speed and that long straight. I just can't see Ferrari being as poor as they were on their first outing with their new chassis.
I'll predict the way. I'll predict an Alonso P3.
P3 with Weber on the podium.
Yeah, Weber. It'll be Vettel, Weber, and then Alonso P3 because the Ferrari, well, will not be able to keep up with Red Bull because that thing is a precision weapon.
Kylie.
I love it. I heard Kylie Minogue's that song she had back a couple years ago or whatever, you know, just can't get you out of my head or whatever. I heard that on my Sirius XM because I'm a huge Sirius satellite radio listener, and my favorite station is BPM, which is the kind of I wouldn't say it's not hardcore techno like the like this channel above it, but it's like more of your dance, like, you know, when you go to a big dance club, you know, it's got.
You mean the garbage they were playing in my spinning class this morning?
Shut your mouth.
Sorry, man. Not my style.
But it's not the hardcore trance, but it's like, you know, it's just the songs where they take pop culture songs that are doing really well now and they kind of remix them and all that stuff. So it's my favorite channel, and I was listening to it, and I heard the Kylie Minogue song come on, and I instantly thought of Sebastian Vettel in that Red Bull car, and I'm like, Kinky Kylie.
Dude, you need a whole series of t-shirts.
I do. If he comes out with a Kinky Kylie shirt, I'm telling you, I'm on it. I don't give a shit.
All over that.
I will. I already wear my Kate's Dirty Sister shirt in public, and people love it. It's an absolute...
sweet.
They're like, Kate's Dirty Sister, is that the name of the car?
Yes. And that little dirty girl, she won a championship.
Right. Dirty girl. No, I don't think... Was it her? I don't think she won
the title. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was a previous year that
was
Kate's...
What was the car's name last year? I forget.
I couldn't even tell you.
I don't know. But Kinky Kylie, squared away. So, I like it. All right, well, let's talk LMS, but not so much LMS as it is just Le Mans series. We had the Paul Ricard start...
If you didn't see that, go out and Google it. You know, find the YouTube video.
Shit, that was hilarious.
Yeah, the start of the race. You got the LMP field coming down to take the start, behind the pace car, and the lights go out, and mass chaos ensues because the LMP cars do not accelerate because they're still behind the pace car after the lights went out.
What happened?
And behind them, the entirety of the GT field crashed into the back of the LMP cars because they couldn't see what was going on. Some of the LMPs were involved in running into the LMPs in front of them, and it was just mass chaos. I mean, one after another cars skidding across the track, blowing into each other. Let's reevaluate the start procedures here. See, the pace car, when it comes around on the final warm-up or installation lap, it pulls into the pits, and then the lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
Never should you have the lights going out when the pace car is on the track. You know, it would seem to be a simple check. Let's see. Pace car's off the track. Okay, push the button.
And
seriously,
go.
What in the world were they thinking?
Yeah, it was bad news all around. Cost a lot of great race cars, a good chance at some points. At the end of the day, though, the Pescarola. Yeah, Pescarola. I'm sorry. Good gosh. I'm just tongue twisted all over all these crazy names we've had on the show tonight. Yes, that car actually would take the victory, which was real interesting because that team actually didn't run at all last year after the team was disbanded due to some internal issues and then was brought back by a group of supporters and was this was its first race back since the hiatus, and they took it in style, P1. So, do it. So, congratulations to them and their legendary name in sports car. So, and the International Le Mans Cup has confirmed that Zhu Hai will be the season closer. As you know, we've had lots of issues with trying to get an Asian round of the championship in. Asian Le Mans Series is kind of undergoing a lot of badness, but you have to have an Asia race to complement the full international calendar. And so we are going to go to Southern China for a six-hour endurance race down there in the Zhuhai International Circuit. So that's going to be November 10th through the 12th. So, yay.
Yeah, the interesting thing to note is the Asian Le Mans Series has had a difficult time getting off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a lot of races that just haven't happened. As far as this year's schedule for the Asian Le Mans Series, well, I don't think there is one. So we shall see what ends up happening with it. But it is good to note that Zhuhai is on the schedule, and hopefully will remain as such. So,
all right.
Because they've had races canceled there multiple times with
yeah.
multiple different series. So.
Yeah, so good for them.
Indeed.
But,
I don't think we have any other news really to cover tonight.
That is the show!
Boy, what does that make it, like 6.5 minutes?
Congratulations, man! I don't know how long, because we had the Biff at the beginning.
Yeah.
This is the second take. Martin Plowman is not with us, so we had to do a second take. But this call started, yeah, wow. We'll be lucky if we breach an hour. Now I'm going to bring out the variety show for openpaddock.net. No.
Okay, time for Sean to come out and spin the plates.
But well, that's all we have after a couple weeks of really long and intense shows. We just wanted to give you a quick hash of the news, read everybody else's stories, and pretend like we know what we're talking about. But that's all we've got. I'm going to be down at Barber this weekend, so everybody who's down there, come over and say hi. I'll have my white Open Paddock t-shirt on. Come over, say hi, give me five. You know, let's make plans, go out, have a couple drinks after the track festivities, and have a good old time in Alabama. And, you know, so it'll be a great time. I'm really looking forward to it. And thanks to the Speedway or the Barber Motorsports Park for such a quick turn on our credentials, because we were almost not going to be able to make it due to time constraints, but they really helped out. And so we really look forward to bringing out the coverage of Barber. Wonderful facility. Also follow us on Twitter. If you already do follow us on Twitter, tell your friends to follow us on Twitter. We're getting closer to reaching that magical 500 number where we will get free 100th anniversary gear out to a lucky recipient through the random drawing. So very happy, very, very happy about that. Can't wait to give stuff away. Love to give stuff away. We're up to 467 followers. So tell your friends, get out there, follow us on Twitter. Also, like us on the Facebook, please. The Facebook, we also, all of our stories go straight onto the Facebook, well, shortly time delayed onto the Facebook, kind of like what I like to call the ALMS TV package. That's what our Facebook is. We write the stories, and then we give you a smaller condensed version on Facebook. So that nobody, you know, because it's on a medium that nobody uses anymore. No, Facebook, because everybody uses Twitter. But yeah, so go over there, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/openpaddock, twitter.com/openpaddock. If you're already doing it, tell your friends. They should be. We have lots of people who like us on Twitter, and Randy Menard likes us on Facebook, so that is all the reason you need to know to go over there, unless you're a fascist. So,
Randy Bernard, the man that some people have called the next Don King.
Nice. Nice. Yes.
Yeah, indeed.
So go over there, pick it up on the Facebook. We'll keep you well informed. You won't miss a beat of all the paddock gobbledygook and just randomness that is.
Hey, this just in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wondering about the Versus coverage team for the Indy Lights races, it will be none other than Mike King from the IMS Radio Network,
Jay
Query from the IMS Radio Network, and Willie T. Ribs.
Oh my gosh,
that is awesome! He's a well-spoken man. I'm kind of excited about that because you know, I heard him on an interview recently, and man, he's well-spoken. So good deal.
Yes. So, but thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend. Remember, Sepang, Barber, watch it, do it. Say goodnight, Mike.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks.